Hey, if you think your job has a lot riding on it and you're feeling plenty of pressure to perform, just stop. Pause for a moment to consider the job of a rural GP. When you're the only doctor in town, you need to be a family doctor, an obstetrician, an emergency physician, and a surgeon, pretty much all rolled into one. A rural GP has to be a jack of all trades, from being able to deliver babies through to being able to syringe your ears, for instance. Not the most pleasant of experiences. But with a severe shortage of GPs in the bush back in 2005, a group of Queensland doctors pioneered what has become known as the Rural Generalist Program, effectively turning rural medicine into a speciality. That program turned 10 on the weekend, and it is definitely a milestone that's worth celebrating. Dr. Dennis Lennox oversees the Rural Generalist Program for Queensland Health. Dennis, thanks for joining me.
My great pleasure, Craig.
Take me back 10 years. How critical was that situation then?
Rural and remote Queensland was in very difficult circumstance. Just a few intrepid Australian graduates were progressing into rural practice. There was growing critical vacancies. Communities were despairing. We were closing birthing services. And we were increasingly relying upon international medical graduates, many of whom weren't really well prepared to provide practice in rural remote Queensland.
So tell me about the turnaround then.
The turnaround was answering the question as to whether we could do something different or more to attract Australian graduates. And though many believed the days of the rural doctor, just as you described, were over, there was a sufficient number of community members and rural doctors who believed that we could do it too differently. And so it began with a process of firstly defining the practice that we required and describing that in a new discipline of medical practice we call medical rural generalism, valuing it for its true worth when we remunerate doctors for that practice, providing a joined-up pathway from medical school through to mature practice, and then beginning to redesign service and workforce to fit the needs of the community with the aspirations of these next generations.
And it sounds like greater recognition is what it's all about as well for rural doctors, of the many and varied tasks that they have to do on a day-in, day-out basis.
Yes, recognition was necessary because, as you describe, the general practitioner of that description was the general practitioner most of us knew when we were younger, in the 50s or 60s. But increasingly, general practice became specialised into urban-based general practice, and the community need for that jack-of-all-trades, as you described, medical practitioner, required us to define a new discipline and to give it a new name. It certainly had a huge impact.
And I was going to say that I guess, difference between being a GP in an urban centre or even a large regional town, as opposed to being the only doctor and perhaps hundreds of kilometres away from your nearest colleague. What's perhaps the biggest challenge of that, Dennis?
The biggest challenge is that scope of practice, on the one hand, and then the scope of work. The service required in a small rural community, of course, is 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that places heavy demands upon rural doctors. And the scope of practice varies from the same general practice that you experience of a general practitioner in urban practice to inpatient service, to emergency work, and then the range of advanced specialised skills, as you mentioned earlier, obstetrics, anaesthetics, but including mental health, adult internal medicine or paediatrics.
So you talk about this program. What extra training? Say if I'm a recent graduate and I've been to JCU or at UQ and I come out of with a degree in hand, ready to practice as a doctor, what happens next? How do I go down that rural generalist path and what does that involve?
Well, we actively recruit doctors from medical school, and we recruit based upon the criteria that we know will best fit them for a practice in a rural location. They enter into training immediately on graduation. It's 5 years of training. They spend the first years in major centres under specialist supervision, and then they progress into a rural practice situation where they're supervised by rural general practitioners or rural generalists. So it's a 5-year joined up intensive training pathway for them.
And it's 10 years of the program. So what are the numbers like?
The numbers are looking good. We currently have 110 doctors now practicing in rural Queensland through the pathway. 55 of those have actually completed fellowship. That's a formal vocational qualification, either of the College of Rural Remote Medicine, which is the lead agency for this discipline, or of the College of General Practitioners. And our numbers coming behind are increasing. Our intake in the first year was 30 in 2007, and we have 77 commencing an internship in 2016.
Gee, that's a doubling of the numbers. So what's the shortfall? How many more do you need? How many more doctors do we need in the bush? Is that crisis over, so to speak?
Well, that's not an easy question, Craig, but one thing's for certain, we will be able to supply the doctors that the Queensland remote communities need in future. The numbers are growing as we supply more because the services expectation of rural remote communities grow. And the important thing is, after defining this practice based upon what communities need, we're inviting communities now to be involved with us in doing two things. Firstly, to help to assist the needs of the community, particularly in relation to advanced specialised practice, whether in mental health or emergency medicine. And the second is to increase recruitment from rural secondary schools into medical training. We have powerful evidence to suggest that the best recruits into rural practice are those who have a rural background, a rural heritage.
Yes,
so we're wanting communities to be actively involved with us in these ways.
So they come from a rural area, they go back to a rural area.
They do.
I was just going to ask, Dennis, who makes a good rural GP? What sort of person?
They're characterised by a very low threshold for boredom in the first instance, Craig, as you could imagine. In fact, I often say to people who ask me to define a rural generalist, rather than going to the technical term, I say, well, if you're in a group of doctors and one of them, within the first half hour of meeting them, regales you with the number of things they've done in practice in the one day, from assisting at someone's deathbed to the birth of a child to care of someone with a significant mental health illness, then you're probably talking to a rural generalist. So that's an important characteristic.
Have other states seen what Queensland has done? Are they taking it on board and adopting the practice?
Yes, they are. Somewhat behind Queensland. I think there was an understanding in the first instance that this was a peculiar development for Queensland's peculiar needs. But the principles are translatable, and other states are beginning to do that. In fact, at our forum on the weekend, we had a guest from Japan who sees the application of the Queensland Rural Generalist model into Japan.
Fantastic work, it really is. Dennis, can I say congratulations, and it's so good to see more doctors in regional parts of Queensland not just going there but staying there and with their families too. Thanks for joining me today.
My great pleasure, Craig. Thank you.
Dr. Dennis Lennox, who oversees the Rural Generalist Program for Queensland Health. It has been running, well, 2007, he said, was the first intake, but it had that infancy, I guess, 10 years ago, and proving to be quite successful indeed.